I'd like to turn with you to the book of Joshua, please. The book of Joshua. I just want to read one verse. Verse 14. The book of Joshua, chapter 3 and verse 14. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. I'm sure that God will bless the reading of his word. Now, mind you, I'm not quite sure whether Brother Norris Stewart is a few months older than I am, or I'm a few months older than he is. I want us to look at the close of the meeting at the faithfulness of God, the dependability of God. You notice that Joshua, in speaking to the children of Israel and the elders, he's reminding them of the faithfulness of God. And here in Joshua 23 and again in 24, we have the last words of Joshua to the elders of Israel. And that's just like the last words of Paul to the elders of the assembly in Ephesus, although he spoke to them in Miletus. Those last words. And you'll find that in these passages, Joshua, just like the Apostle Paul, had a deep concern for the people of God. He had grave misgivings when he thought of the future, just like the Apostle Paul. In chapter 24, he's going to rehearse Israel's history, and he's going to renew the covenant. He has come to the close of his life. But here in chapter 23, in reminding them of the faithfulness of God, he mentions the past. And he looks to the future. And then he makes an appeal to them as he thinks of the present. You'll notice in verse 3, he's looking to the past. And he says to them, ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations, because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. He's reminding them of what God had done for them in past days. He is reminding them that it was God who had accomplished certain things. They might be entering into the enjoyment of the land and in the possession of the land in a measure, but he attributes it all to God and is reminding them of what God had done for them in past days. And surely we remind our hearts what God has done for us. We not only think of the greatness of his love towards us when we were sinners, but we remember how By His grace we have been delivered from the bondage of sin. That past time of our lives is over. We are now in the period of the rest of our lives, as we have been reminded, because we can divide our life into two portions. That part before we were saved, that has been finished with as far as God is concerned. He has terminated that life. He has finished with us as sinners. And this part of our lives, now that we are saved, now that we have been purchased, we're not our own. And we can think of what God has done for us in the past, as to our salvation. And we can look back over our lives and we can see what God has done for us since we were reached and saved. And we are what we are by the grace of God. And He's reminding them of the past and the past faithfulness of God. But He not only looks back to the past, He looks on to the future. And in verse 5 He says, "The Lord your God, He shall expel them." What God has been for you in the past, He'll be for you in the future. That is, if we keep close to the Lord. That is, if they did not depart from the Lord. He reminds them of the future, that God would be for them, that God would be with them. And I want to say, brethren and sisters, if God be for us, who then can be against us? But as He looks to the future, He not only reminds them that God would be for them when you come down further to verse 15. After He reminds them of the faithfulness of God, He says, "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until He have destroyed you from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you, when He have transgressed the covenant of the Lord." He warns them of the hand of God upon them in chastisement, in judgment, if they departed from Him. Now I know full well, the dear saints appreciate, that if we depart from the Lord, we will not experience everlasting punishment. The judgment of God will never fall upon us for our sins. But I want to say, brethren and sisters, we do have a warning that His hand in chastisement will be upon us. But I want to turn from that very quickly. He not only reminds them of the past, He not only looks on to the future, He makes a present appeal to them. And before we look at the appeals that He makes to them, I want to show that His appeals are based upon what He says in verse 14. He is basing His appeals upon the faithfulness of God, upon the dependability of God. We are reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 7 that God is the faithful God. The faithful God. We are reminded in the Psalms that His faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. It cannot be measured. It cannot be measured. We are reminded in the book of the Psalms, his faithfulness is unto all generations. All generations. At all times. To all his people. I want to say, my brother, my sister, whatever the circumstances of life may be, whatever the difficulties, whatever the problems, whatever the heartache, whatever the sorrow, I want to say that God is faithful. Unchangeably faithful. Absolutely dependable. Do you know in that little book, sometimes called the appendix to the prophecy of Jeremiah, the book of the Lamentations, the lamentation of Jeremiah, the tears of Jeremiah, what had taken place in regard to Jerusalem, the dark picture, the departure of Judah, the capture of Jerusalem, all the dark picture, the suffering, the wilderness, the Nazarites becoming black, the gold become dim. And you'd never have thought that in that little book we have those lovely words, great is thy faithfulness. And in the midst of the hand of God in chastisement and judgment upon the kingdom of Judah and upon Jerusalem, we have these lovely words penned, great is thy faithfulness. I want to say, dear child of God, he's faithful to his word. Absolutely dependable as to his word. You can depend completely and absolutely upon the word of God. He's faithful to his promise, faithful to his promises. We see that in the Old Testament, how he's faithful to his promises, faithful in maintaining a testimony in spite of Israel's failure and departure. We were reminded of our faithful remnant in a day to come. We see in the opening chapters of the Gospels, particularly Matthew and Luke, there's a faithful remnant. God is faithful in maintaining a remnant, a testimony, despite failure and departure. He's unchangeable. He's unchanging. And we think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 3. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Others might change. He never changes. Others might fail. He will never fail you, dear child of God. Never fail you. Others may pass from the scene. That seems to be the setting there in Hebrews chapter 13 of leaders who had taught them and they were to follow their faith. They've passed from the scene. He never passes from the scene. He abides. He's the same. Never fails. He's faithful in his love. I want to remind you, dear child of God, he loved you even when you were in your guilt and in your sin. He commended his love towards us when we were yet sinners. That's why Christ died for us. is tender in his care. You know, there are some things that our fellow believers might not understand in regard to our circumstances. But there's one who always understands. Fellow believers might misunderstand. But the Lord never misunderstands. And the wonderful thing is, not only is it true that he never misunderstands, he always understands. He's always able to help. He's always able to succor and to support and to sustain. We've heard of the home call of some and sorrow in families. And there may be some in the company and you're passing through circumstances that nobody else knows about but yourself. The road is rough. The going is difficult. I want to say that God is absolutely dependable. I want to say that God is faithful, meeting every need, fulfilling every promise. Doesn't the book of the Hebrews tell us, chapter 10, he is faithful who has promised? That's why we know we're going to land safely upon the eternal shore. Because of the word of God. It's not because of any inward feeling that we might have. Feelings can change. It's because God is faithful, unchangingly faithful. And I want to remind you, dear child of God, that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. The dependability of God. And Joshua is reminding the people. And Joshua is reminding the elders of the absolute dependability of God and how they have witnessed that dependability, that not one thing he had promised of those good things had failed, not one. And he's using the faithfulness of God is the basis of his appeal. He makes his appeal. His appeals before he mentions the faithfulness of God. He appeals to them first, and then he reminds them of the faithfulness of God, of the dependability of God. I've just reversed it this afternoon, because I want to close with the appeals. But these appeals are based upon the faithfulness of God. My brother, my sister, remember God is faithful. Remember God is unchangeably faithful, absolutely dependable. Listen now to the appeals. Notice in verse 6, be ye therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that he turn it aside. Oh, my brother, my sister, here's an appeal for courage. We mentioned that in our reading. The need for courage. The need to be manly. The need to quit ourselves as men. And the appeal is for courage to maintain and to carry of God. We need courage to maintain the truth of God. We need courage to carry out the Word of God, to practice the teaching of the Word of God. I remember the Willie Two saying, ministry should grow legs and walk. The Word of God, to maintain and carry out the Word of God. Because He is faithful to His Word, let us be courageous in maintaining the Word of God and in carrying the Word of God out. You'll notice again, verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. To continue cleaving unto the Lord. God, stop. How important you to cleave to Asia or another well-known psalm, Eerie. God, and with what Christ suffered in order that you might belong to Him. He's the God of restoration. But we need to keep close to the Lord. We need to keep close to the Lord. Finally, look down at verse 11. To examine our lives. To the skin. Woman. Steps to the altar. In the things of God, there should be no excitement of the flesh. And no energy of the flesh. No energy of the flesh. We must make no provision for it. Take heed. Take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves. That's important. And what's the thrust? That ye love the Lord your God. And an appeal to the affections. An appeal to place the Lord first in the heart's affections, to give Him the first place. I wonder if I've given Him the first place in my life. I wonder if I've learned the lesson the apostle learned when he penned Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ. What he's saying is, as far as I am concerned, the sole purpose of life is Christ. My brother, my sister, on the basis of the faithfulness of God, His dependability to you, unchanging in His character, unchanging in His love, on the basis of His faithfulness and His dependability, we need to be courageous in the things of God. We need to be consistent in the Christian life, but we need, as the center of our affections, the Lord Himself. I trust that God will bless His word.